You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Friday the 8th of April 2022 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. We've reached the end of another week, the weekend is almost here and you know what that means? It means we have Grandpa Dan with us here today all the way from Texas. Grandpa, how are you doing, sir? And thank you very much for filling in for me last week. What's life like for you over on the other side of the world?
It's just about as clown world as it is everywhere else in the West, man. We're just having a clown world competition. You know, we're always making, they're always talking about progress. You know, we're just on this inevitable path of progress. And I was just sitting here thinking about, you know, as we have progressed from whatever system we had before to the new system of our democracy, it seems to me that our democracy is always being threatened. It seems to be very, very fragile. Once again, I'm not sure how progress is actually progress.
Yeah, our democracy seems to be threatened by debate, doesn't it? It seems to be threatened by free speech. And we're saying this because President Barack Obama criticized social media outlets for filling what he calls a demand for crazy and spreading disinformation in a way that he said he has underestimated. Obama spoke with Atlantic editor Jeffrey Goldberg Wednesday at an event hosted by the University of Chicago's Institute of Politics and The Atlantic. "I do think that there is a demand for crazy on the internet that we have to grapple with," Obama said. While praising how easily available information had become in the United States, he did say it led people to mass belief of conspiracy theories. Well, hang on a minute there. Isn't that really saying that these conspiracy theories are based on truth, if they are actually based on the available information? And what he's really calling for here is censorship. And of course, as soon as you start censoring what people are talking about, then the conspiracy theory becomes true, doesn't it? Because the conspiracy theory is always that there is a conspiracy to silence people from talking about this. And basically, they just prove that it is true by silencing these conspiracy theories, and that leads to people believing in them. It's a never-ending vicious cycle, basically. They do the censorship, and people end up believing more and more wild and wacky things. What do you make of this, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, I mean, the truth never has a problem standing on its own. It's always the liars that have to shut down, you know, and try to silence the truth so that, you know, people are only exposed to that side of the deal. You know, it's not really exactly ancient history when we had more or less free speech on the internet. I mean, it just, you know, less than 10 years ago, we more or less had free speech on the internet, you know, within reason. You couldn't go online on social media and say that you were planning to kill somebody. That would obviously, you know, get you in trouble. No duh, but you had more or less free speech. And so it doesn't take a whole lot to compare to how things were then to how things are now. I mean, we have this ridiculous amount of censorship on platforms like Twitter. I mean, pretty much everybody has been banned that disagrees in the slightest with the narrative. This has really been highlighted with the Russian-Ukraine conflict. You know, and now that they've silenced everybody, you know, now they're complaining that, well, we're having all of this friction, we're having all of these problems, and the answer must be we need more censorship. Yet, like I say, all you have to do is remember a few short years ago when you didn't have the censorship and everybody was able to voice their opinions and come to their own conclusions. And it would seem to me that we didn't have nearly the amount of problems that we have now. But the problem for them, of course, is you had more people disagreeing, publicly disagreeing with the narrative, and they had to shut that down. And now anything that is, of course, disagrees with the official narrative is disinformation.
Well, the whole point of democracy is that you're supposed to be able to have a debate. You're supposed to be able to have a conversation about ideas, and the best ideas get the most support, and they rise to the top. As soon as you start censoring certain ideas, then you're not going to end up with the best ideas getting to the top. You're going to end up with artificially supported ideas rising to the top, and you're going to end up with problems. And of course, that's what we see. We just see society beset by problems everywhere, and more calls for censorship of the people that are pointing out the sources of the problems and the sort of solutions that we need to put a stop to them. Roughly 40% of the country appears convinced that the current president was elected fraudulently and that the election was rigged, Obama noted, with about 30 to 35% not taking advantage of vaccines for COVID-19, which he called a medical miracle that had been clinically tested by a billion people. The former president appeared to be citing an Axios Momentum poll from January, which found that 40% of Americans still do not believe Joe Biden is the legitimate winner of his 2020 election against Trump. Well, there are two things there. The medical miracle that's been clinically tested by a billion people, well, I would guess that the 30 to 35% that didn't take advantage of the vaccines did not want to be guinea pigs. They did not want this to be tested out on them before it was tested out on all these other people. And the second point here is, if 40% of Americans don't believe that Joe Biden is the legitimate winner of the election against Trump, then there must be a reason for that. And a large part of the reason for that is because anybody that puts up any evidence to show that the election was fraudulent has been removed from social media. Why would you do that instead of providing evidence to show that that wasn't true? Instead of providing a counter narrative, instead of providing the other side of the debate, they just silence the debate and censor everyone. So it's their censorship, I think, that has actually led to the number of Americans that don't believe in the that don't believe in the election. And again, I think the censorship has also led to more people being suspicious of the vaccines. What do you think, Grandpa?
Well, yeah, I mean, again, if 40% of the people don't believe, you know, believe that Biden being elected was a complete fraud, then if that's not true, if Biden was totally elected, as they're telling us, as the most legitimate, got more votes than anybody ever in the history to run for president of the United States, I'm trying to say that without laughing. But if that is the case, then the simple way to dispel that would have been to investigate it, you know, address these people's concerns, do an actual investigation. You know, of course, this would have had to happen right then, you know, and address these things like, okay, why did they run the election? What we've got these videos of election observers being run out of the room and boards putting on the windows so they can't even look in there. We have videos of them bringing ballots in unsupervised in boxes. We've got videos of people filling out ballots. We could do it. They would have done an investigation, you know, to prove that, no, this was actually 100% legitimate investigation. People are common sense tells people that when, instead of addressing the allegations, say, well, we think this election was fraudulent, and that when the reaction to that is just to ban you, to ban your account, to shut you down and say you're not allowed to say that, versus saying, oh, well, no, here, we're going to do an investigation. Look here, we did an audit, and you know, the reason for this was, well, they couldn't explain that, obviously, because there was massive voter fraud going on. There was plenty of video evidence of it. There was plenty of people testifying to that fact. And so they can't stand on the truth. So they have to shut people down. And anytime one side demands that the other side of an issue has to be shut up and has to be silenced versus addressing their points, then you know which side is on the truth. That's generally an easy way, a layman's way to figure out, to get to the bottom of anything. When you have two opposing views on an issue, when one side says, well, look, we think this because, look, we have these videos, we've got people testifying that this happened, we think this is the case. And when the opposing side is, shut up, we want your account banned and you're not allowed to say that, it's not real hard. The average person can figure out which side is probably telling the truth. I had to laugh at the whole thing about the COVID vaccine. He just segued right into the COVID vaccine. And I love this line where he says, a medical miracle that has been clinically tested out by a billion people. In other words, the clinical testing were the people taking the shots. They didn't tell people when they're, hey, by the way, this is the test. They were telling people, oh, no, we've tested this vaccine. It's 100% safe. You don't have to worry about it. Everything's good. They didn't tell people taking the vaccines that, hey, you are the long-term test, which of course was the case. But this is kind of a bit of an admission here that the people were the test subjects, but they weren't telling people that when they were pushing them to get these vaccines. They weren't saying, well, you are the long-term study. And it's awful funny that they're complaining about the 30 to 35% not taking it, because in an actual science experiment, you've got to have a control group. You want to have a group that, you know, doesn't take the vaccine, and then you can compare. It's amazing to me that they admit here, he admits here, that the people taking the vaccine were being tested on. It was test, his words, tested out by a billion people. They were the test subjects. But at the same time, they don't want a control group to compare that to. You know, I'll try not to launch off into more quote unquote disinformation and conspiracy theories, but it really makes you think, doesn't it?
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? Most people don't realize that there is no control group. They had a control group at first, and they didn't give them the vaccine for 3 months. But then after 3 months, they gave all of them the vaccine. So there isn't anybody that was in that control group anymore that is unvaccinated. So how can you measure the results of the vaccinated against the unvaccinated when there's no control group anymore? Well, Obama took a swipe at journalists as well, saying that the destruction of local media and the rise of news through big tech and social media have exacerbated making democracy more difficult. He made the point of comparison to how Russians were unable to see any information about their invasion of Ukraine. If that's true in our society, imagine how any of us would process information if we are not getting, seeing anything else. It is difficult for me to see how we can win the contest of ideas if, in fact, we are not able to agree on a baseline of facts that allow the marketplace of ideas to work. Well, if you have censorship, then you can't have a contest of ideas, are you? You're just banning one entire side of this. And the only reason why Russians aren't seeing Western news anymore is because they brought a law in against fake news. And all the Western news stations ran out of Russia as soon as they brought that law in. And the West completely silenced the Russian news. They completely removed RT from terrestrial television in Britain, on any of the mobile broadband apps. If you try to watch RT on there, you won't be able to actually watch it. The only way you can get to it is to go directly to the website now. They've tried to remove it throughout the whole of Europe because they don't want anybody hearing the counter narrative. And the whole point of democracy is that you hear both sides of the story. That is the whole point of it. And we're told democracy is so important, and yet all the principles of democracy are just going straight out of the window. What do you think of Obama's thoughts here on the contest of ideas, Grandpa? Do you think it's an unfair contest?
There's so many contradictions in this statement. It just it's one of those, this little section there, I had to look at it and read through it several times, because there's so many contradictions and things that don't make sense, because he's basically just vomiting up gibberish and trying to make it sound, you know, like it's some sort of breathtaking, you know, well thought out point of view, saying that the destruction of local media and rise of news through big tech and social media. Well, Who oversaw that? I mean, I love how these people like Obama pretend like, you know, well, there was nothing they could have done about it. These people oversaw that happening. They purposely were a part of this happening. And now they act like, oh, well, this is a real problem. It's too bad. Shucks, it's too bad that happened. Of course, they wanted that to happen because that's how they had to censor. You know, you can't have a lot of independent media outlets, because then you would get, you know, people contradicting the narrative. So they had to concentrate the media through these corporations. Are we not supposed to notice, Finn, how the no matter what network you tune into, no matter what media, approved media, state sanctioned media you listen to in the West, they all are lockstep repeating the talking points of the government. Now, we're supposed to have a free press, and I support a free press. I do believe we should have a free press. I don't think any system of government, no matter what you live under, should be threatened by a free press as long as you're doing the right thing. But we do not have a free press here in the West. You cannot claim to have a free press when every single journalist, every single network, every single media outlet that isn't being banned is repeating lockstep the talking points of the U.S. State Department, of the West, of the government. That's not a free press. That is no different than if the government directly controlled the press. There's zero difference. And yet here he's trying to make a comparison to Russia and act like, oh, poor Russians, they're not getting to see any sort of, conflicting, counter views, counter to the Russian narrative, when that's exactly what they're doing here in the West.
Well, we don't actually have any opposition, do we? I mean, he wants it to be even worse. I think what you're referring to there about everybody just repeating the same narrative, that's what he's talking about here. We're not able to agree on a baseline of facts. He wants everybody to just be repeating exactly what the government say, and apparently that is democracy. Well, Obama cited things like the rule of law, freedom of press and conscience, independent judiciaries, fair and free elections as issues where there needed to be agreement. He then tied it into a growing laziness from people operating on behalf of democracies, and that it led to the invasion. Again, he's just lumping a load of things together there. He thinks everybody needs to agree on free and fair elections. So he's basically saying everybody has to agree that that was a fair election. Freedom of press and conscience. Despite all the censorship, all the banning, all the deplatforming, all the debanking, we're all supposed to say, yes, we have freedom of press if you are part of the mainstream media. I mean, it's all just a total scam that he's pulling here, basically, trying to push these ideas as if we actually have these things. Independent judiciaries. We don't have independent judiciaries. We have political persecution of people based upon their opinions. We have all these January 6th protesters that are in prison at the moment. One of them ended up having to go to Belarus to claim asylum, political asylum, because of the political oppression that was going on in America. And what does he mean here? Growing laziness from people operating on behalf of democracies. He means that they're not calling for more censorship, which is the opposite of what democracy should be. I'm not quite sure how he claims that this led to the invasion. You got any ideas there, Grandpa?
Oh, no. Like I say, it's a lot of gibberish that's supposed to make you think he's a profound thinker. And if you don't understand what he's saying, then you must be stupid. And this is a pretty common tactic from a lot of these political figureheads. They vomit this gibberish out instead of saying, well, that doesn't make any sense. You're supposed to go along and nod your head because he's supposed to be a profound thinker. Just one thing to point out is his line about free and fair elections. There's no controversy, virtually none, except that which was generated, manufactured by the West. There was no real controversy internally as to the election, the overwhelming election of Lukashenko in Belarus or Putin in Russia. They won by these overwhelming majorities, and by and large, the people there accepted that because everybody understood that, these guys are popular. The people like them. Now, like I said, there's some noise made, but that was all manufactured by the West. Where you counter that to the U.S. with the Joe Biden quote-unquote election, and like they just pretend like, well, you can't question that. And yet you had the West saying, oh, Lukashenko and Putin, they just frauded their way into office. They did election fraud without any sort of evidence. They never produce any evidence that Lukashenko or Putin were elected fraudulently. And yet we have all this evidence about election irregularities in the U.S., and that's conspiracy theories. That's just people doing crazy talk on the internet, and we have to shut it down. It's just amazing. It'll just make your mind explode if you try to make too much sense of all of these contradictions, lies, and gibberish.
Well, they're trying to do the same to Viktor Orban. He's just won with a landslide win again at the election. I think it's his third win with 2/3 of the vote, and they're saying that was illegitimate because he's just too popular. Basically, too many people like him, so they're doing the same to him that they've done to Belarus and Russia. Well, continuing here, we have gotten complacent, and I cannot guarantee that as a consequence of what has happened, that we are shaking off that complacency, Obama said. He also said that he was surprised by the Russian invasion of Ukraine, based on his dealings with Russian leader Vladimir Putin over his two terms as president. The former president noted that he was always ruthless, but seemed not to recognize Putin after spending years meeting with him on the world stage. I don't know that the person is the same as the person who is now leading this charge, Obama said of Putin. For him to bet the farm this way, I would not have predicted it from 5 years ago. Obama, who was president during the 2014 invasion of Crimea by Putin, said he was encouraged by the actions the West had taken against the invasion this time around versus his efforts 8 years ago. Well, I'm not quite sure you can call what happened in Crimea an invasion. They had a referendum and 92% of them voted to join with Russia. I mean, that's democratic, isn't it? 92% vote to do something, and the country actually does that. I don't think that was an invasion. And to say that Putin is betting the farm this way, I don't think it's Putin that's betting anything on Russia. It's the West that is betting that everybody is going to go along with all these increases in fuel prices because they support sanctioning Russia. The people that I talk to are very confused by this. You know, they can't understand why we're bothering with this, why we're still sending weapons in there. Isn't that just going to lead to more Ukrainians getting wiped out? I mean, it is incredible the number of Ukrainian flags that you actually see that people are putting up. And you just think, have they even heard of the country 3 months ago? Do they know anything about the politics that have been going on there? I mean, Putin has been trying to solve this diplomatically for the last 8 years. The reason why he's gone in there is because the Minsk agreement was not kept to by Ukraine. He waited years for the Minsk agreement to be kept. It wasn't kept. So what are you going to do about it? Well, you end up having to go in there and do something about it himself to protect the Russian citizens. I mean, at the moment on the news today, they're saying that part of Donetsk has been bombed by the Russians, refugees that were leaving Donetsk. Why would Russia be bombing Donetsk, which is allied with Russia? And they're being most disingenuous about this. They have what they call the governor of Donetsk actually telling them all of this. It's not the governor of Donetsk. He's nowhere near Donetsk. Donetsk has announced itself as an independent republic for the last 8 years. What they've got is somebody in Kiev who is pretending to be the governor of Donetsk, which is doing interviews with the BBC. It's incredible what's going on there. But I've gone a little bit off track here. Grandpa, what do you think of Obama's comments about Putin here?
Yeah, no, you were talking about that. It was reminding me, remember during the Syrian conflict, and they were always going to that, what was it, Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, and it turned out it was one guy in an apartment in London, you know, and that was their inside source for all of the happenings that were going on in Syria, that, you know, Assad was gassing his own people for no reason and stuff like that. So it's not like we haven't seen this playbook. It's amazing whenever these people act like, you know, they have no idea why Russia has taken this action. When, as you pointed out, they telegraphed this. I mean, they bent over backwards diplomatically for years. I remember right before this, we talked about it before. You know, Lavrov, who was just the epitome of a diplomat, you know, held that meeting with that horrible, horrible embarrassment, Liz Truss. I just, she's got to be the most embarrassing. I mean, we put out some garbage here in the U.S., and I'll be the first to point it out. But I have to say, Liz Truss has got to be the biggest embarrassment as a form of a diplomat ever. I'll never forget that news conference they did together, standing at the podium, and you have Lavrov up there, you know, and he lays out these points and is being very diplomatic. And then Liz Truss is up there basically just spouting bumper sticker slogans back that have nothing even to do with the topic. And at the end of it, Lavrov is like, well, there's no point in even trying to negotiate with these people. They can't even talk about the topics. They just sit there and regurgitate slogans. Like, it's just our democracy. You know, it's like, oh, well, we have these security concerns and we really don't want NATO. What do you say to, you know, up at our doorstep? What do you say to that? Our democracy, freedom, who we are. Yeah, you know, it doesn't even make any sense. It really is. But it's amazing to me when they act like this is a total surprise. Nobody could have seen this coming, when Russia spent years bending over backwards diplomatically, and they have made their security concerns, as far as what it takes to end this conflict, their demands are very reasonable. It wouldn't be a big deal to end the conflict today, but they act like it's a total mystery. It's a total mystery. We don't know why Russia's doing this. There's no way the conflict can end. We've got to drag it out forever. You know, it's just because Russia's evil or something like that. It is. It's all very exhausting. It really is, for sure.
Yeah, I think Liz Truss and Kamala Harris are pretty good examples of the level of diplomacy and the level of political acumen that we now have in the West. Liz Truss and Kamala Harris, what a team. Well, a secondary side of all this censorship is when you silence somebody and you prevent them from having a voice, then they have no other way to communicate other than by using their bodies. And in some cases, people might use their fists because they no longer have a voice. And that is essentially what we now see happening. Now that people have been prevented from taking the authorities to task on social media, they are turning up at the authorities' houses. New York City's woke health commissioner has been provided with security after being confronted at his $4 million home over plans to mask under fives indefinitely. About two dozen protesters were seen by the New York Daily News on Monday night, who allegedly shouted death threats whilst outside Ashwin Vasan's lavish brownstone property in Fort Greene. A New York Police Department patrol car has since been stationed outside the three-story home ever since. The group were upset after the commissioner, together with Mayor Eric Adams, decided to keep a school mask mandate in place for children under the age of five. Those demonstrating shouted, "Unmask our kids," while another flew a "FU Biden" banner. And both of those have been banned on Twitter, haven't they? If you come out with any counter narrative to the COVID narrative, such as saying that masks aren't any good for people, you're going to get banned from social media and YouTube for giving out harmful health information. And again, if you question Biden's legitimacy or question the election in such a way, you are also going to get removed from social media. So as a consequence of being removed from social media, these people have turned up at this representative's house in order to harass him. And of course, I don't condone harassing anybody or going to anybody's house. But this is the sort of thing that happens when you prevent people from being able to have their say in the public marketplace, which is what social media is today. It is the equivalent of the marketplace where you can debate these ideas and take these people to task. If you prevent people from doing that, then some people are going to feel that they have no other option left other than to physically confront these people, which is what is going on here. I see this as a direct result of the censorship. What do you think, Grandpa?
No, it is. It absolutely is. And the optics of this are just absolutely amazing. They say they come out after telling people, yeah, OK, we're finally going to relax the mask mandate. They come back in and say they're going to indefinitely mask under 5 year olds because for some reason that's an arbitrary age. They're saying, oh, well, this won't apply to a 6 year old. And they're not saying, you know, a 6 year old who has been vaccinated. I mean, their break here is that, well, under fives can't get the vaccine, so they have to wear the mask. But for the over 5 year olds, they're not mandating, oh, well, they have to prove vaccination status. So, of course, it's just more of this whole control freakism that we've seen illustrated through this COVID. Now, here you have the guy. They come out with this mask mandate. They really give no reason because their own statistics show that little kids like that have essentially a statistically zero chance of being killed by the deadly doom virus. But they come out with it arbitrarily anyway, after telling everybody they weren't going to do this. And now you've got this guy living in his spreading $4 million house, you know, and he's upset because the peasants have shown up to voice their dissatisfaction. Well, why did the peasants show up to voice their dissatisfaction? Because they can't voice it on the internet. People can't go online and say, well, this is BS. Why are we, you know, why do we have this going on? Because they've all been banned. Everybody's been banned that disagreed with the COVID narrative. Everybody's being banned that disagrees with the Russia-Ukraine narrative. And we're supposed to be shocked that when you don't allow people to voice their opinions in the public square of the internet, that a certain amount of them are going to show up in person and say, okay, well, now you have to listen to me. And of course, they always frame any criticism of themselves as quote unquote death threats. Nobody was arrested. If somebody showed up and had a loudspeaker and said, we're coming in your house to kill you, I can assure you those people would be in jail. And rightfully so. You can't do that. You can't say, I'm going to come in and kill you and your family. So that didn't happen. They throw that death threats out there every time. It just means people were criticizing of them. You know, well, you can't be upset that when you don't allow people to have a conversation online in the virtual space, that a certain amount are going to come and say, well, now you're going to have to hear our voices in person. But their answer, of course, is we need to shut it down harder. And I have to laugh that they act like this is a legitimate security threat when their answer to it was to put one patrol car out there. You know, look, if a huge mob was planning to storm the guy's house and assault him and his family, one patrol car isn't going to stop them. So that's just laughable. You know, but they act like, oh, look, these horrible, powerless peasants are oppressing us, the rich people who are living in our sprawling estates, because they don't like our dictates that we're handing to them from on high.
Well, we have a couple of quotes here about this. It's really horrifying how difficult it has become to have rational conversations about complex public health topics. It is particularly frustrating because these issues have to be debated publicly, since most often there is no right answer, only least bad options, tweeted Jay Varma, former Mayor Bill de Blasio's top pandemic advisor. A spokesman for VSAN, Patrick Gallagher, has condemned those who harassed the commissioner. To promote public health, we welcome public debate. But harassment of someone's family and home is out of bounds and wholly unacceptable, Gallagher said in a statement. This should not and cannot be tolerated. Over 100 parents and their children rallied at New York City Hall just weeks ago to demand Adams unmask our toddlers. Days after VSAN sparked outrage by announcing that children aged 5 and under should wear face masks indefinitely. So once again, we have this really disingenuous excuse here that they're saying, well, we need to have this public debate. We have, and it's becoming difficult to have a rational conversation. How can you have any conversation if you just censored everyone? If you just removed everybody from social media, there is no conversation. That's why these people have turned up there. I mean, he says here, to promote public health, we welcome public debate. No, they don't. They just censor debate. Any opposing view is just removed from social media. The only way you're ever going to hear an opposing view is if you go to the alternative media. If you go to BitChute, even that is censored a lot in some ways. If you go to Odyssey, you might hear a different view. If you go to Gab, you might hear a different opinion. And what do we see? Well, we just see them trying to shut down BitChute, trying to shut down Gab, and removing everybody from Facebook and Twitter and YouTube, all the mainstream platforms, all the opposing voices have been removed, and this is the result. You end up with physical confrontations because people are not able to voice their opinions, and the reason why they silence those opinions is to pretend that people just don't have them. But as we heard from Obama, 40% of America believes that that election was fraudulent. You wouldn't think that, would you, if you were just looking at Twitter and Facebook, because that 40% of America has been censored from those platforms. Grandpa, what are your final thoughts on all of this today?
Well, I don't mean to brush aside your humility there, Spin, but you left out someone else, too. They can come to RadioAlbion.com and get opposing views. And, you know, so we got to put ourselves in there as well. No, they're just talking out both sides of their mouths. Oh, we've got to have this debate. We've got to have that. But they're not allowing that debate. And when they've not allowed that debate, and then people have tried to physically, and by physically, I don't mean like, you know, through violence, but just by showing up in the physical realm to literally make their voices heard. You have to hear me now because I'm yelling at you. Oh, but what do they say? This should not and cannot be tolerated. It's wholly unacceptable. So they don't, obviously, we know. They don't want any sort of public debate because that means the other side. If you're going to have a debate, it means both sides get to talk. Both sides should get, you know, a chance to view, you know, to voice their views. And as I said at the opening of the show, it's not hard. If you have a hard time for the average person understanding a topic, it's not real hard to just kind of guess which side's probably correct. Because one side that says, okay, this is what we believe and this is the reason why, and the other side doesn't do that and says, shut up, we can't allow, and we're going to call these people names and give you all the reasons you can't listen to them and we have to shut them down. It's not real hard to figure out which side is probably standing on truth and which side is just trying to fill you full of lies.
Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Grandpa. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back on Monday with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion. Talk Radio for the nationalist community.